One of the people who
did a minor in graduate studies.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's so annoying.
No, I would say that final exam is
like the other day there was a massive matter. It's like a third day that I had to put it up in the polls. And
yeah, it's a
PhD.
PhD.
I'll get back. Watch me throw it all.
Go to the one that
I might have thing, I guess.
So, like, are you doing one?
Yeah.
That was not having the very technical. Literally, we were like
deleting.
No, because I look at you when they're closing the. There's usually like leftover stuff.
I
leave
it out. Which that makes sense. But.
What do you mean? How
do you are you? I didn't realize.
It was kind of faster.
Oh, yeah, it's like it's just I meant more than the last one. But it's not the end of the problem. So,
my part last year. But now I feel like the manga got her part
of all the
Yeah, but now I'm going to offer that one too. Because we think of more, but I know we
Well, if you're the
but
I mean, I didn't.
What else will happen? So,
you don't want to find that in
it's a lot. I'm allowed to say because I was supposed to go there. So I have all pictures. I have like a windshield.
Oh, like,
I didn't start to be like, no, I was
doing well. Do you find that momentarily?
But it's a relatively new. That's older than my parents' country.
Most people in time to do our life research.
All right. Hello, everyone. It is 5:06. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Can we start with a roll call, Eric?
Right. Dave Brown.
Eric.
Catherine Farrell. Andy Garcia Ortiz.
Yeah.
Bridget Hayes.
I'm here.
Michelle Heaney. Malvika. Apologies if I didn't say that right. Jesse Lopez.
Here.
Annika McGraw.
Here.
Dhruv Parekh. Olivia Perkins.
Here.
Georgia Smits.
Here.
Vera Ye. Leah Matthews.
Present.
Rajvi Thakur.
Here.
Thank you. Xander Lynch.
Here.
Aksa Iqbal. Ava Lagressa.
Here.
Oh, voting members.
And that's a great, fantastic. Good job, team. Okay, so are there any late additions to the agenda? No? All right, we'll move on to approval of the September 11th, 2023 minutes. Are there any changes or questions to the minutes as they're presented right now in the handout? No? Okay. Are there any objections to unanimously approving the September 11th, 2023 minutes? No? All right, unanimously approved. Fantastic. All right, so our main business of the day is voting on two different resolutions. One is going to be changes to the FC funding guidelines for clubs and organizations that we fund. We've done a big, big overhaul, and hopefully they are much easier to read, much better. We got rid of a lot of unnecessary stuff. We cut down on a lot of the things that we had kind of prohibited organizations from doing. So we shared that with all of the voting members on Friday, the updated document, and we're going to get a presentation on that, but we're hoping to approve that change today. And we are also hoping to approve our GPSA internal funding for the year so that all of our committees can do the programming and such that they are supposed to do. So we will have David do a presentation on these two resolutions. And then we will break out into breakout sessions, discuss them, and then we'll come back and vote on them.
I could ask someone who's logged in to Zoom to fill in box and please send in the chat to everyone David's presentation, which has been uploaded to the meeting materials for today. It'll be much quicker.
All right, the link should be in there now.
Thank you very much, Anna. Good morning, everybody. On Zoom. All right, dude.
So today we're just going to kind of recap the guidelines. I think Kripa did a little bit before. So here's, I'll just kind of do the, go over the final copy of it. And then I will also introduce the internal budget for GPSA for this year. So the first thing, first major change is just a table of guidelines. Just kind of make it a little bit easier to read. And if you can look at the bottom right corner, there is now just 11 pages. So in total, there's about 10 pages if you don't include the table of contents. So that's from 17 pages. So we cut about 7 pages of the guidelines, made it a lot more easy to read. I know a lot of people kind of got confused over the guidelines. So that was kind of the main focus of this new guidelines, as well as kind of just getting consistent with the universal guidelines of the university. So I think a lot of people that have read it and kind of came back to me said like, oh, I didn't know these rules were even in the guidelines. And I said, yeah, those were in the previous guidelines. So I think that's a major change. And so I just wanted to put a slide here for that. Next thing is the locations requirement. So this is for the first time this year, GPSA will allow funding for events off campus. I'm not certain if any of you guys knew that, that we did not technically fund off-campus events. That being said, there are a few requirements going for events off-campus. First, that you do not require, you need a 25 live registration for all on-campus events, including those outdoor. Off-campus, you will not require one. But one of the rules that I kind of took off the universal guidelines is that if the event couldn't be held on campus, it probably will not be funded by GPSA. So there were a couple of events done by the undergrads that, you know, the cops got called into. And so that's kind of the why that rule's there. So if you kind of think that that event shouldn't be on campus, it probably shouldn't be off campus either. And then online events, you'll have to put the link in the into the campus groups description. So either way, for all if it's on campus, off campus, or if it's online, the event, the location of the event must be on the description. So if it, even if it's off campus, say if it's at your home or whatever, you'll have to kind of put an address for that. So you don't have to put the unit number, but at least the maybe where the lobby is or whatever, so people are aware where the event is. Also new, I worked with campus groups to add a GPSA FC funded, it's kind of small there, but there's now a tag when you do a campus groups event, I'll say it's GPSA FC funded. And all events that are funded by GPSA will require you to use that tag, as well as it should say GPSA funded on the any sort of advertising material for the event, as well as in the description. That's kind of a continuation of our current rule on that, but we're kind of just modernizing it for campus groups. So budget cycle. The budget, the academic year begins the first year of the fall term. That's when all funds will be provided to all groups. There's kind of no restriction on that period. Funds will be released on the first day of classes, usually the third Monday of August. Funding will kind of be pulled at the end of the spring term, usually the third Saturday of May. You cannot have any events using GPSA funds after that date, and no payment requests after that date will be accepted. 15% of your academic year budget could be used in the summer term, which starts at the beginning of the summer classes. And the day before the first day of fall classes. That being said, just kind of put a little bit of emphasis on this, and I will probably return to this in a later slide. There is a submission date of August 10th for any sort of tier promotion. Fifth funding tier has to renew every year. And some of you might be asking, what is fifth funding tier? I'll get that next slide. But and then also first year groups will have to kind of confirm that they are, you know, kind of continuing to operate Because it could be that a first year group might be something for a current group of students that then graduate, and then the group may cease to exist. So we will now require a confirmation for first year groups to confirm that they will continue to exist. And that is, once again, that'll be August 10th. And we do not consider anything post August 10th except for field funding for spring semester, and then also for first funding tier. So talking about funding tiers, this is our new funding tier. It's called first funding tier. It's $250. It's only going to be for spring term, meaning that if you say you want to start a new group and you don't want to wait the whole year to get funding, you'll be able to start your group in the fall term and apply for this and then have funding for the spring term. This will only be available to first time applicants. And then they will automatically be upgraded to second funding tier. But they will, once again, they'll have to kind of confirm that they will continue to exist. So that will have to be submitted before August 10th. The deadline to apply for first funding tier is December 10th. And then also the other thing that is the deadline for December 10th would be field funding for spring. It will be here, right here. August 10th deadline and December 10th deadline. I emphasize deadlines because a lot of groups have kind of missed these deadlines, and there's really no kind of consideration for, you know, tier funding promotions, or if you lose your fifth funding tier to kind of get that back. And I think next slide, there's an emphasis on, that's right here. So there's a new rule. If you get promoted, you'll have to wait 2 years and you have to show that you've utilized 90% of your funds to then get promoted. If you get demoted, you'll also still have to wait that 2 years. So just to make sure that you kind of use 70 to 80% of your funds, or you could get demoted and then wait 2 years. The only exception to that is that if you're a fifth funding tier group that forgot to renew, it would only be 1 year before you could get re-promoted to fifth funding tier. But otherwise, if you miss these dates, your group could end up waiting like 2 years before they could get promoted again. So just remember that August 10th deadline and December 10th deadline, especially the August 10th deadline. So additional funding. So two additional fundings that GPSA provides is field funding. That kind of has gone unchanged, but the initiative funding has been kind of underutilized over the last couple of years. So initiative funding is kind of for affinity groups to promote diversity and such. It's an additional $200 that will kind of go under the appropriation. There'll be a subcommittee chair for that. And that will kind of a way to kind of give additional funds for initiatives on campus amongst graduate schools and professional schools. Okay, that kind of wraps up the changes amongst the guidelines. And I will just kind of go through the budget. It's kind of similar to what you guys seen, probably if you've seen like last year's budget. There's a couple of things that kind of just point out. The first being the activity fee income is $51,082.50, which is $1,800 short than what we expect to spend. So we will be taking that out of our reserve funds this year. We will be setting the activity fee this term kind of around November, I would assume. So that's kind of just to put an asterisk there, just to say that we will have to increase the amount of that kind of portion. I think it's at $4.90 of your activity fee goes to GPSA directly. I believe that will have to go up to $5.50. The other thing is the discretionary account. Last year, we used a discretionary account to buy outdoor furniture for the Big Red Barn. That account will remain this year as we kind of work with the Access Fund to then reappropriate it for a hardship account, kind of use that $19,600 to maybe help students with that are in financial need, or mostly that. And so that's kind of where we're working with Access Group to kind of make that available for next year at the beginning of the year. So this $20,000 account will not exist next year. It will go into a hardship account. And that kind of sums up my presentation. So if anybody's got any questions now, I will answer them. Yeah.
Not necessarily in particular to the new changes and everything, but looking at the budgets, the GPSA reserve is almost double the amount of income from activity fees. Is there an explanation as to like why we have so much in the reserves?
So I know we're rolling back the discretionary fund, which is $20,000, but that doesn't mean those kind of bigger projects will cease to exist. So that kind of reserve is why what we would normally take that kind of those large items out of. And since we are putting this into a hardship account, say if we have a large budget, like a large budget item, that would come out of the reserve. So that reserve kind of needs to be there, kind of separate from what's on here. This year is kind of different because that kind of 20,000 discretionary is in the budget, but normally that would not be in the budget.
And a lot of that actually came from a couple of COVID years where a lot of organizations couldn't run any events. So we weren't putting funds into organizations. So it isn't usually this big. And that's why we did actually, we were planning to use a lot of that money for the Big Red Barn renovations and stuff. And, you know, we heard from Cornell Cinema last time. So if we voted as an organization to use part of our reserve fund, like we're willing to spend it. That's what it's there for. But it kind of built up over time. We can do with it what we want. But it's good to have it there as a buffer for any large expenditures that we want to do as an organization.
Yeah, just to repeat what Malia said to so that Zoom could hear. The bulk of this reserve did come from like the last like 3 years of COVID. We did not have a reserve this large. And this is kind of like a regular, most years we do run some sort of like deficit. So it's kind of an imperative to not just kind of run through it just in 1 or 2 years so that it's available to future GPSA if they want to do a large budget, like large budget items. Okay, I think that kind of wraps it up. Thank you.
All right. There aren't any other questions, then we are going to do breakout sessions again by year at Cornell. So we'll do, you know, first year, second year, third year, fourth year, and beyond in those four groups. And I think one of each of the executive board will be in those groups to make sure that the sessions can happen. But the purpose is to look at the two resolutions and for any discussions to happen, any questions to be brought up, any concerns, especially for the people who will be voting on it very shortly. So we will go into those groups and we will come back at 5:35 to start voting. All right. First years, second years, third years, fourth years, and up.
It's only because like it's like this is sense of limitation given to me, so like the only time I have is like 8 months or so. So but it's like not including like clubs and
So the student activity fee that you guys all pay into is set by us. It's like $75, $80 We set it, and there are a lot of different things. We're actually going to vote on setting the activity for the next 2 years. Yes, that's the time of the get to vote on what the activity will be and how much goes. So we will have to improve our we're gonna have one. It's just
so that's after the free way. You don't have to
know what it ask for. But then there would be no helping people realize what those benefits are. No, so the activity fee is just an aid.
That's the main
smallish fee that all grad applications like $40 just shows up as your bursary.
Yeah,
if you kind of belong with tuition, if you have tuition, and that is set by us, and it goes towards funding all of the student clubs and organizations. So if your department has like a grad student society, or you're part of like Infinity Group,
I don't think it's fully
graduate women in science, so many clubs.
Well, that's just not
a lot of there. And then that money also goes towards a lot of Big Red Barn and Cornell and emergency services like the ambulance on campus. Like we put in money, all of those things from the activity.
I had a question about like why the 2 year wheeler change. Like why was that?
From
because it was previously it was previously reapply every year, right?
For the
tiers.
No, that was
I think it was in order to show all of the student organizations because they're a lot of organizations.
Essentially, you're a lot of certain funds, but if you don't have like a
putting on events that a lot of people want to be involved in,
you'll have to pay.
I thought that there was new. The members
doesn't just mean you can go
and
get all the money back,
right? Or
I don't think they were in it, which made it kind of hard to determine.
I guess the thing that
we really had was if you lose 90% of your budget, which is not that hard to do, even if you're only like a 5-person organization.
There's only Exactly. I don't know all about it here. There's only certain.
So I think it's trying to give us a little bit more validation instead of goals.
But so really,
yeah,
a valid choice. You know, we're not trying to stop people from moving up, but we're trying to make sure that.
Yeah, typically.
I was thinking of like my own organization. It's like we are limited by how many grad students we have.
Yeah.
Because we only have one. So like.
Exactly.
And
but
I think
also
we're currently.
Yeah, you will also get
more budget as long as you're
which is available to specific organizations. So any like grad student society, for example, you get extra $200 plus $1 for each registered graduate student in your field.
Right.
So that is an additional pot that you get that like
I just think I think my group is now in a tier that it doesn't fit in anymore.
It's
because it's
too big, too small.
Or like the organization is too small. So I think that
you're getting more money than you need.
Yeah, I guess
no, not more money than we need, but more money than we're supposed to have under the new
thresholds that we wanted to keep.
So they said that I think that means we dip down next year or whatever it is. You know, so like, well, like we're a long standing.
I don't think you have to, unless you're a tier five, you don't have to be a five. That's roger, like the highest.
That's one of your work on
the other ones, as long as you're spending. I don't think we're going to move through with that.
My God, it's
just like
move
up the bridge. Right.
Back to resolution one. I can't really see like the how it's like rewritten and stuff because not
yeah.
like everything.
So are you but,
I guess
so. Not yet. Okay, yeah. We sent out the actual document to all the voting members.
Okay.
So we'll put on it today.
But
it will be available as soon as it's
right.
Fair enough.
It's just
they also mentioned that 7 pages were cut down.
It was just super repetitive.
Okay.
And went really in depth into like what we were prohibiting or the safety from doing. That really.
Yes.
The
question.
Is, like, we want them.
We
were like saying that they
didn't
need
no, I get it.
They buy stickers or their teacher. Because spending money just showing themselves to people, you know, promoting themselves instead of like actual events. But we're like.
People
want to get t-shirts. So we still, I think we have like way fewer restrictions. There's still the like 50% of the budget for alcohol.
So one more project I did last
year. I mean, I paid $100.
Right. But any of it was supposed to make it easier for people to
understand. Yeah, and it's just not. There was the same inequality in multiple places or in your spot. So,
even if it's a rule,
it's a lot better than what we have. And it's how much
we're
like,
yeah,
literally.
So, opposed to us when that corporate for the cinema wants a outdoor inflatable screen.
So we actually have listed on the agenda the open positions that are available right now. So there are a number of different fields that have spots, but now that we are in the third meeting of the semester, they're actually open. So later in the meeting, if you want to become a voting member for one of those positions, even if you're not in the field, it's okay. We're still looking for voting members. So like if you're in arts and humanities or you're in biology, you could. So if you do a line of great for that one, then I'll just call the nomination. If you nominate yourself, give a little blurb about why you're involved in it. And then if there's no one else for you, if there's someone
so
any other questions, especially from the voting members?
I just put ocean because I live in Maine, but because I'm a single.
Yes.
I don't know. Like this gets done. This gets like filed for like.
Yeah, it gets. I think it gets put in our meeting minutes online on the opposite sentence.
Yeah.
I'll just.
I just didn't need to do a motion for my.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to. I think when I call for any changes,
honestly, fair.
You can just like.
Honestly, fair, but like, you know, not only fair.
All right, let's bring everybody back. We've sent it to the first on the
Ian, though you will not even this.
Yeah. All right, let's bring everybody back to the table and get going on the business of the day. All right, so we'll start off with resolution one, which is the changes to the GPSA FC funding guidelines that David gave us a presentation about. Are there any questions from anyone that you'd like to share with the whole group and have discussed before we vote? Okay, I will entertain. Oh yeah, question.
I do just have a question. So for the protocol that is requesting more funding every 2 years, I just have a question about that. If you have an organization now, will this be in effect by the end of this year so that an organization who wants to bump up their funding in the tiers has to wait 2 years from the end of this year? Or would it be?
It would be from the last time you got promoted, not this
year.
Oh,
okay. From the
so
last time you got promoted.
2 years between promotion.
So if you got promoted, let's say like in 2000, and now it's 23 years later,
you can get
promoted, apply for, oh, okay.
But you would have to have 2 years of 90% utilization. You also like have to show that you used your funds.
Okay, 2 years of 90% utilization in the past 2 years, like from 2021 to like this year.
It would be two consecutive years. So,
two consecutive years.
Yeah.
From the last time that you applied for funding, any
it
of
it doesn't
those...
really matter if it's like the last time you applied, but just two consecutive years. It's just that if you just got promoted, then you couldn't have two consecutive years.
Okay.
So I just kind of emphasize that there. Between those, you would have two.
Okay, that makes sense. The only reason I'm asking is because, like, personally, I'm in a 2-year program and I'm in organizations that I would hope to make a difference in, but I don't think, like, personally, I would be able to do that because I only have 2 years at the school. So I was just thinking about it that way. But if it's from the last time I got funding and I got funded many years ago, then that wouldn't.
See that? That kind of like I kind of emphasize that, but honestly, it's kind of irrelevant when you got voted last time. You just have to have 2 years of 90% consecutive funding with this tier. So it means that, like, if you just got bumped up this summer, you would have to wait 2 years because you have to show that you utilized it 90% twice.
Perfect.
In a row.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi. This might be a dumb question, but. Let's say that you've never had funding before as a club, and then you apply to get funding, you get accepted. Now you're in the very first tier. Is that considered a promotion as well as put
that
last?
So you would have to use that $500 2 years in a row.
Okay. You'll get the $250 your first year.
Yeah, that would
like
also.
If you started right now, $250, you'll be automatically bumped up to $500 for the next full year,
okay.
But you'll have to be at $500.
You would have to also like
years.
Confirm that you. Like you're going to continue to exist after your first year, but yeah, other than that, yeah, you would be first tier 250, use your 250, second year, use your 500, then boom, your third bottom tier again, $1,500. Yeah,
it's just really some quality control checks. Over we have over 300 clubs and organizations that we fund, and a lot of them, you know, fluctuate up and down a lot, and we just want to make sure that we are putting the money where it's being utilized by the students that we represent.
I think I might have like glossed over, this was in my slide deck, but also the membership numbers. There's no requirement of how many members you have in your first funding tier, but you need 10 for first funding tier, 25 for, sorry, second funding tier, 25 for third funding tier, which is $1,500. You need 50 members for the fourth funding tier, which is $2,500. And for the $3,500 funding tier, you need 100 members. Now, there's just not very many like groups getting $3,500. They're usually like student associations, and for them getting 100 members is not particularly something difficult.
Going off of that, has there been consideration for those number requirements for like affinity groups who might have like a smaller number of like a student population?
So a lot of affinity groups are fourth funding tier, meaning they get $2,500. I think most of them have 50 members on campus groups, but that is something maybe to like highlight if you are like say the president of like ALSA or one of the other affinity groups. I think I was looking at like a lot of affinity groups within the law school, and they are not having too much of an issue having 50 members. I know NALSA is one that has had a hard time getting to that number because there's just a lot of Native American students at the law school.
Yeah.
But
the affinity groups now do have that additional funding opportunity at $200. So like there are, you know, for those groups and for the field groups, the field funding, there are two additional pots of money that organizations can get without needing to deal with a tier change.
I think the initiative fund, when you like join the initiative fund, will reach out to all the affinity groups. And when you're with it, like when you are within getting that extra $200, there probably is a little bit of space for that like requirement on how many students there are. So like if they say NALSA, I think, I don't know how many students they have. I think they might be over 50 because they have a lot of like allies, but even if they did drop below 50 and they were a part of the initiative fund committee, there's probably a little room there for that specifically. But outside of the initiative fund committee members, I think that's pretty hard line on like if you have these members or not.
At least for going into that tier, because people,
yeah,
the organizations, well, don't have to re-up every year.
Actually, to keep your tier, you have to have that many students. Actually a requirement to keep that tier actually. So if you say you were like a major group, had 50 students, and the next year you only had 20, then you would actually drop a tier. Sorry.
So you've now said that. So what do you do when like is what happens to groups that are restricted by, so I'm a representative for the linguistics grad student circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're restricted by how many people our program brings in.
Yeah.
And that's never more than 8. And in my year, it's 4. So like
what funding tier is that group? Sorry.
That it's a tier 4, $2,500. And it has been in the past $3,500.
Yeah.
So like there's no way we're getting to 100 members. Very unlikely we're getting to 50.
There is the consideration like for a group that has, you know, 30 people in it. It doesn't make sense for the GPSA to pay $3,500 for that number of people. Like if we're trying to spread the money out, mm-hmm, over the most number of graduate students.
What was it called again? Is it a student association?
No, it's the Cornell Linguistics Circle.
Like if it's like your program student association, there's a little bit more leeway for that as well. But if it's not your student association, if it's just one of the groups amongst your thing, but there's also, you are open to the whole school. If people are interested in your group, you can add people via that way. So it doesn't have to necessarily be, like our rules actually would say that all groups are open to the whole graduate professional student base, as well as your group is open to, like the event should be open to all graduate professional students as well.
Yeah.
So, the affinity groups makes like it sense if there's not like a lot of Native Americans in the law school, that they shouldn't be penalized for that. But for like subject matter group like linguistics, I'm certain there's other people in the graduate school that would be interested in joining your group.
So I have a question based off of what you mentioned earlier about membership being like another requirement for the tiers and everything. So how is membership being?
It's all going to be a campus groups.
All on campus groups.
All on campus groups. Like your membership number is on campus group.
Even if you've already graduated, I believe you'd still be like in the.
You would when you graduate, you're taking off campus.
You are. Okay.
Yeah. So it would go down.
And if you were to, let's say, be enrolled into a group, but then you just don't necessarily attend the group anymore.
That still counts.
That still counts.
Yeah. Like we can't police. There's just 200. There's 350 groups. You can't police like how many. There was a rule previously. So this is not a new rule. This is like a reformatted rule. But there was a requirement on how many students you had in your group prior. The reason that we've changed it to this, to focus on campus groups, it says specifically 25 students on campus groups, is because it just makes it easier for us to allocate funds. Because if there's a group with just two people, it doesn't make sense to give them $3,500 when there's another group with 100 people that would better utilize that those funds. Then. So that's kind of, there's a pool of how many funds right now. We're over budget for GPSFC. We're at 300. We pull in about $320,000 a year for student organizations, and we dished out $340,000, which is coming from our reserve. So we just want to make sure that the groups are utilizing those funds so that the most amount of students can kind of, you know, utilize that.
And I do think that's like a very fair system overall, because that's like the best way you can manage membership. That being said, I do know because I've been to a few of the involvement fairs, and a lot of clubs would encourage people to sign up for their campus group so they could like learn about whatever events they're having, everything, get more people as possible, everything. Even if the people just end up signing up and just not going in and stuff. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, these ghost members, or if I would call them, they would still be in consideration for the club to get higher tiers of funding, even if in actuality they wouldn't have that member necessarily.
The problem is that we just cannot police 350 groups. This is kind of our best way to kind of put that initiative and so that we can help as many students as possible.
So we have that and the amount of money. You have to spend the 90% of your budget. So
yeah.
It's not a perfect system, but we're trying to make it as fair as possible without needing to spend hours and hours and asking all the organizations to like have a literal head count for every single event that they have to send to us that we then filter through.
Though I will say that SOBO does look at, you know, how related your events are to your group. Because if they just see I'm just buying food, they will flag you and then that will go back to FD and they'll get demoted. So I would look at section 8, which is enforcement. But if there's too many violations, say every time you don't list GPSA funded on your, or if you don't list where the bent location is, or they look and you're just spending money on food, they're in the background, they're giving you violations. Now they will email you, but if those violations rack up, that's also another place where you could get demoted. So, but if you have, like, even if they're ghost members and you're holding events that are like towards your initiative, and you're using you know 80% of your funds, you're not going to get demoted. It just kind of, we've kind of put all these kind of checkpoints where it's easy for one or two people to kind of review at the beginning of the year. But yeah, we can't go ahead through every list and say, you know, was it, and even if you gave us a list of like 20 people's names, how would we know if those 20 people were even there?
And I guess I'm sorry for asking so many questions, but the inverse of, I'm only giving a lot of questions because like the membership pool thing was like very new to me because I've been to like other student governments and like talked to them and things. So that's like new in general. The inverse, people may not necessarily use campus groups that much. I can name three clubs that
you have to use campus groups or you're going to get automatically rejected for funds. They're like SOBO will not release.
No, I mean like they use campus groups, but as in like in terms of like membership, that specific thing, like people may not necessarily sign up to be joining the club, but they'll hear about it like an event on Instagram or whatever, like in the student council or Hindu USA, they had like a few events that had about like 50 people or so, but they only had like five.
At those events, they should have a please sign up for campus groups and so that we can get funding. Like that's what
Like, yeah, we want you utilizing campus groups more. That's kind of why the new guidelines are there, that we want you have to, A, you have to put a campus groups event page for you to get funding, period. And if SOBO doesn't see that in your request, they're going to automatically deny, and there's no way around that. And there's nothing you can do post-fact to kind of fix that. So the emphasis on this kind of guidelines is to use campus groups. A, to get, you know, how many members your group has, and B, to post your events on that so everybody's aware that that event is occurring.
All right, in the business of time, I'm going to entertain a motion to call the question to vote on this resolution. Would any voting member like to motion to call the question? You just have to say, I motion to call the question on this resolution.
Motion.
All right, David motioned. Is there a second?
Second.
Monica seconded. Great. All right. All those in favor of approving Resolution 1, the changes to the FC funding guidelines, please raise your placard. And if you are on Zoom, please press the green check mark if you are a voting member, and we will count the votes. Are you guys current voting members?
Did we vote on this?
Oh, they've been involved. Okay. Great. So I think we actually have 13, Eric, because we have some law school reps that are not officially in the books yet. But
and we have OXA online too. So
okay. All right. Great. Pass. Well. Would anyone like to oppose this resolution? Sorry. You're opposing? One opposing. Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, the motion has passed with 14-1-0. All right, moving on to Resolution 2, which is the GPSA internal funding proposal for this academic year. Are there any questions or discussion points that would like to be brought up? All right, I would then entertain a motion to call the question on Resolution 2. Okay, David made a motion to call the question. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Andy seconded. Great. Again, all those in favor, please raise your placard for approving our internal budget for this year. And on Zoom as well, if you could do the green check mark again, that would be great. Okay, I think I saw 13 again. Would anyone like to oppose Resolution 2? Would anyone like to abstain? Sorry, Georgia, were you wanting to, was that a in favor or I didn't know if you were trying
that
to...
was in favor, sorry.
In favor, okay. I think that was 14-0-0. All right, woo, we've approved our budget.
Good job, guys.
Fantastic. All right, now we will move on to for a call to fill our open GPSA voting member positions. Now that we are in our third meeting of the semester, you no longer have to be in one of these fields in order to be a voting, in order to like nominate yourself to be that voting member, because now we're just looking for people. We didn't get specific ones from those areas. So it is now an open call. So in the business of time, I'm just going to, would anyone like to nominate themselves to be a voting member position for any of those?
Yes. I would like to nominate ourselves for the biological sciences position.
Okay. Anyone else?
Right.
forgot your name, but I wanted to nominate you for one of the positions as well.
Yeah.
For the physical sciences position as a voting member?
My choice.
It doesn't really matter which one you are now. I mean, if you have an affinity towards one of those, you're more than, if you would like to accept the nomination.
When do I need to do then?
Just accept, you can just say, I accept the nomination, and then we'll do a little spiel from the two of you and then confirm you.
Okay, but I am not the patient.
Oh, just like your name, what program you're in, what brought you to GPSA today, and like if you'll come to future meetings as a voting member.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. What's your name?
Ashwati. I was spelled in BHASWATI.
Perfect. Would anyone else like to nominate themselves or someone else for one of the open voting member positions? Yeah.
I would nominate myself for the biological sciences.
Mm-hmm. What's your name?
Asim, S-I-I-M. And my last name is Sepp, S-E-P-P.
Okay, great.
Did you need mine as well? Or?
Okay, would, yeah.
Does this include the university committee positions?
No, this is just for the voting member positions right now.
Yes. I'd like to nominate myself for the physical science.
Okay.
What's your name? Elise. E-L-Y-S.
Okay. Would anyone else, final call, would anyone like to nominate themselves or someone else for a voting
member? Biological science.
For which one?
Biological sciences.
I think we already have three for biological sciences. Would you like to be for physical sciences so we don't have to have a written vote? Okay. What is your name?
Srikant. S-R-I. K-A-N-D-H.
Okay. Anyone else? Final call? Okay, so we have Ocean, Seem, and Mashwadi for biological sciences, and Elise and Srikant for physical sciences. Do I have that all right? Since there are no overlapping positions, is there any objection to unanimously approving all five conditions of voting members for those?
Quick question.
Oh, yes.
Is there a limit for like a field to have voting members? We're all plant breeders.
Yeah, plant breeder thing.
Oh, I mean,
brought them.
If you're going to come to the meetings and be here and have your voice heard and actually vote on the issues, I don't see an issue with it. I don't think, unless anyone, Eric, sure. Do you know if there's any issue with having a lot of people from one field?
No, not at this point.
At this point, we're fine.
Come
to the meetings, get free food would be great. It helps us if we're ever voting on anything to have a quorum. Once we add you in, it's important that you come to the meetings. All right, so any objections to unanimously approving the addition of all five new voting members? Unanimously approved. Congrats to all of you. If you could see Andy here and to give your full name and net ID, you will get added to the voting roster. And just to make sure that you get all of the email notifications about any resolutions and meetings, et cetera. Okay. Awesome. We'll now move on for the call to fill open university committee positions. Would anyone like to nominate themselves or someone else to be on any of the following university committee? Yeah.
For the codes and judicial committee.
Okay, great. What's your name?
Anurag, A-N-U-R-A-G.
Okay, fantastic. Would anyone else like to nominate themselves or someone else for a university committee? Is there any objection to unanimously approving Anurag for the codes and judicial committee? Unanimously approved. Congrats. We will also, you can see Andy, we will make sure that the organizers add you to the email list for that. I think we're planning to decide the first meetings for that tomorrow, so you'll get information pretty quickly. Fantastic. All right, we will move on to the reports of the officers and committee updates, starting with the executive committee. Michelle, our executive VP, is not here today. She's traveling. We don't really have any updates other than we got some resolutions passed, which is great. So operations.
Yeah, no major updates from last week, except the voting members will receive an email from me about getting on a committee. And a desperate plea for if anyone wants to help me revise the bylaws, that will be the operations committee project this year. So let me know. But
you want to have an impact on student governance.
Yes. So if you want to make the administration more efficient.
Yes, sorry. Can we be on more than one committee?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
And I'm more than willing to help you.
All right. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
This is amazing. Fantastic. Okay, appropriations.
Yeah, we got new guidelines. We got a new budget.
So the guidelines will upload pretty quickly to our yeah. website and everything.
John's back on Wednesday, so I'll talk to him and hope we'll get that on campus groups.
Yeah, I think we'll probably ask him to send an email out to yeah. all of the clubs and organizations that we fund with the new guidelines so they can have that to reference.
Jessica would send. Jessica would have to be the one you have to put on campus reason and we can get that done. And then student activity fee, still working on that. Like I said before, I think that'll be out probably sometime in November. It's going to go up a little bit, but not too crazy.
All right, communications. So the communicate goes out every Friday before GPSA meetings. So I typically send a document. So if there's anything that you guys would want to be added to the communique, just let us know and we can include it.
It goes out to all graduate and professional students. It's one of the only email, you know, listservs that actually happens to. So if there is a very broadly applicable event, or like I put links to the Access Fund, other things that are of interest to all graduate and professional students, this is a great place to spread awareness of it.
Yeah. Exactly. That's very much it. So. All right. Finance.
Here. So yeah, we have a lot of questions regarding tier upgrade and FC guidelines. So we are going to have our first meeting soon, and that will update all the participants from various organizations about their tier upgrade and also the funding FC guidelines and. And we can help them with every question that they have regarding that.
Great, thank you. Student advocacy is on? I don't think so. Okay, diversity and international students. Dhruv will be coming back soon as his class, his 7-week class ends, but he had some updates for me to read out. The DISC committee is planning on being involved with the English Language Service Office Advisory Council. So they'll be working with them on that. And they are also working with the members on that committee are working with their respective DEI and international student organizations to kind of make them aware of the DISC committee and reestablish connection with GPSA to those different diversity groups. And they're also planning to help increase awareness about flu shots this month. There are actually a lot of flu clinics that are being held on campus that you can sign up for. And you know, some groups are more aware of that than others. So spread the word, it's time to get your flu and COVID booster probably. yeah, and he's happy to have more members as well for the new voting members who are interested in being on a committee. Programming, I don't think Katie is here, but they plan the grad student gala at the end of the year. It's a pretty fun committee to be involved with. They will also be looking for members. So new voting reps, you are required to be on one committee. So just thinking about which one you're most interested in. Graduate school, Dean Bohr, I see that you're on Zoom.
Hi, yes, sorry to not be there with you all tonight. And the reason for that being my major a comment, which is that we are still marching through each and every graduate field at Cornell, including at Cornell Weill, to provide training on the new admission practices, the new admission regulations that are consistent with June's Supreme Court decision. So we're, I would say, partway, maybe two-thirds of the way through the university at this point.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty big push, even compared to undergrads, because they just have the different colleges. We have like every single department recruiting people.
Yep.
Okay, great. I guess we will move on to the open forum. Would anyone like to discuss anything?
I just have a question.
Yeah.
How do we access the box, like Dropbox with all the files?
Is that open to all the voting members?
It is. I'll just add you right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes there are lots of lists for voting members to be added to, and sometimes that gets through. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I got an email today from the Center for Teaching Innovation, CTI. They're the group on campus that works with people who are TAs who would like to get additional training on how to teach. For example, they have a number of different courses throughout the semester, some of which are online and available. And they have a number of different workshops, but they reached out to see if there were any programming ideas from GPSA graduate students that we currently don't see that people would like to have. Anyone who's been a TA and has any feedback on that. If you can't think of it right now, you are more than welcome to like email me about it and I can forward them any ideas, but they are asking for our feedback on some of their programming and events. And also, we are in the final stages of finding a new Big Red Barn director. So that's an exciting update, and we'll probably have one fairly soon. All right, if there's nothing else for the open forum, then we will adjourn the meeting at 6:08. Thanks, everybody. I think everything is